Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
The Monday Moan with Dave Downey. What else would you expect throughout the course of Everton's season? Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, Steve.
Right, I'm just looking at the Blue Room EFC, where you've also had your Monday moan. And you've been...
You inspire this, by the way, you know.
You've been pretty scathing. You've done it all tongue-in-cheek, and it brings a smile to the face, because the first pitch you see, you expect to go on and see a picture of, I don't know, Stecklenburg, Lukaku. You've just done a whole load of sheep walking down the high street Wales.
Yeah.
Oh, does that sum up your weekend?
It does, yeah. Those sheep are more entertaining than anything we've seen in an Everton shirt at the Liberty Stadium, let me tell you that. The drive down there is just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean...
Well, you went through mid-Wales, didn't you?
Well, I don't understand. So I put it in on my phone and it says like 3 hours 40, something like that. And I thought, oh... That seems...
No chance. That's in a TARDIS getting to Swansea.
But that seemed quite quick, I thought, given the fact that it's not as far to travel. So we're about, 180, 190 miles away. Mm. It's similar distance to London. And I've bombed it to London in just over 3 hours before. So I thought, oh, okay. A little bit longer because you maybe have to hit some A-roads. We picked a friend up in Bebbington, headed south. Literally, when you get past Wrexham, that is where the motorways and double lanes end. And it was just one single road through the mountains, through...
The road to nowhere.
The valleys. Honestly, Steve, it was one of the worst experiences ever driving down there. It was worse coming home because I had a bad, bad headache from what went on Saturday night to try and erase the memory of an awful game.
So after you've seen all that Welsh scenery and you get to Swansea, which is for anyone who's been to Swansea, it is sort of stuck in... 30 years ago, isn't it? It's never quite moved on.
No, it is.
The stadium's about the newest thing you'll get in Swansea.
Yeah, and I didn't realise how small the stadium was. I mean, to their credit, they create quite an atmosphere there. Mm. Obviously, that's heightened by the fact that they were in a relegation dogfight and still are. But for 20,000 people, they make one hell of a noise. But yeah, I mean, it is relatively the only new thing going on around there. The hotel we stayed in was ancient. I think the lift we had was made out of wood in the hotel.
The Blue Room EFC on tour. Right, let's delve into the game a little bit. So, as I say, you've been a little bit tongue-in-cheek about two things, Stecklenburg and Romelu Lukaku. So Rom, who took to social media to express some unhappiness on Saturday night about what?
How he's being portrayed in the media. By certain people. I don't know what he... See, this is the problem, Steve. No one knows what he's getting at because he's that ambiguous. When he speaks to the Belgian press, when he speaks to our press, when he does interviews about things that have nothing to do with his own future, he always has to drop in a little smidgen of, well, this is all about me. Very egotistical, which is, you know, it goes with the flow in today's game. But he's...
So what did he exactly say?
I don't understand that he's got any right to moan when... All he ever does is cause speculation about his future. You know, it's not like he remains tight-lipped about it. When anyone asks him, he's always keen to give an answer that is a bit of a tease, really. So when he's gone away with Belgium and when they've asked him, will you be signing the new contract with Everton? And he said no to, you know, I'll make my intentions clear. Well, he hasn't, has he? And we're sitting here speculating now, reading between the lines, the only pieces I've seen about him are that he might not prefer to move back to Chelsea and he might look elsewhere. So if that's what he's moaning at, then, you know, well, I don't know what he's talking about.
Is his Twitter feed. He says, some media these days are annoying, man. Little emoji face. Mm. His next one is, he says, as long as I don't make a public statement about my situation, please stay out of my business. Okay. Little sunshine on the emoji. I don't understand that one because you're a public figure and you paid lots of money to play for Everton because a lot of the fans are paying you wages. Don't make statements like that then.
Don't say anything at all. Do not say anything at all about your future. We didn't even have to know that he hadn't signed the contract. It's him and it's his big mouth agent coming out and speaking to people saying, oh, it's 99% done. And I actually think in the original position he was in, the agents coming out and talking to Jim White saying it was all but done, sort of made a rod for his own back. Whether Lukaku wanted to talk about it from then on onwards is something we can speculate about, but that doesn't help, does it? When the agent comes out and says that, you almost feel compelled to say something. But he's talking about... read that tweet again, Steve, the second one.
Right, the second one was, as long as I don't make a public statement about my situation, please stay out of my business, okay?
Well, I'll tell you what his public statement is, the way he plays, because he was abysmal on Saturday. He was abysmal. There's no movement from him. He looks disinterested at times.
Martin Keown panned him. Said he was lazy again.
The lazy thing, I don't like saying lazy, because I think he's a particular type of player. You're not going to get him charging about for 90 minutes like, I don't know, Aguero or Firmino for Liverpool. What he does bring you is goals, but when he doesn't bring you goals, he brings you very little else. And that's how I think some people get the idea that he's lazy. I don't think he's necessarily lazy. I just think he lacks motivation at times, which makes him appear lazy. Then, you know, it's a fair comment, but he was atrocious.
Understandable that Everton should be lacking motivation at this stage?
Not really, no. I don't think so, because, you know, you're trying to build something. You're trying to build for next season. And if that is the case, you've got a plethora of under-23 players you've just won. The Premier League too, who are going to be flying at this moment in time in their careers. Blood a few of them. I mean, he put John Joe Kenny on, but it was too late in the day for that. And I think some of this lies at Koeman's door, because he persisted with Calvert-Lewin, decided to drop Barkley, playing Calvert-Lewin out of position. The lad gets panned on Twitter, Steve, Calvert-Lewin. He's 20 years old and he's playing out of position. He's not a winger, and that's where he's getting put. He's a striker. We haven't seen him play up. I think we've seen him play up front once and he got injured. I think the other time he actually scored a goal when he played up front. So it's not a fair test of what he's like and how good he is. Just got a 5-year deal, so people will hold that against him. Barkley on the bench looks a bit ominous to me.
Understandable.
That one.
Understandable? Ominous?
Yeah, I think it looks ominous.
You think that's a message?
I think it's... The silence is deafening, I think, with this Barkley situation now, because we're, what, 2 games away from the summer. Still no noises about this contract.
But perhaps it's not a good time to be having noises. Perhaps the summer is the best time to hear them.
But when they're in the process of dealing out contracts to Tom Davis, who's recently signed one, Calvert-Lewin's recently signed one, Seamus Coleman, who's got his legs broken in half and he's got a new contract, yet there's no talk whatsoever of Ross Barkley, and Ronald Koeman's last statement on the matter was that we will look to sell him if it hasn't been tied up. Well, the clock's ticking, really, isn't it?
Is your understanding there's harmony between manager and player? Are they two that get on with each other?
I don't think Koeman has much harmony with any player, Steve. I think he's a bit of a disciplinarian in that regard. I think if you do what you're told and you do what he wants you to do, then your relationship will be absolutely fine. I wouldn't necessarily think of him as a man manager. I think he'll probably see himself as a bit too professional to put himself at the level of a player. That's just me reading between the lines. That's only my opinion. But I don't think all is rosy in the world of Ross Barkley and Ronald Koeman. I mean, why would you not start him against Swansea? The game is crying out for him. He come on and actually did nothing anyway. You know, yeah. So it's immaterial. But the fact he's throwing John Joe Kenny on it, there's a load of lads there. Must be desperate to make an impact on this first team with the tails high following the under-23 win, and he decided to throw one on for the last 15 minutes. When he come on, he did really well, nearly created a couple of chances. So I don't get his team selection. If that side is a lack of motivation, he should be the first one to see it and say, well, look, lads, you may be on the beach, but there's a load of lads here who we're going to need next season, and they'll want to come in and make an impact.
Martin Stecklenburg's not on the beach, is he?
Well, I don't know where he was on Saturday. He certainly wasn't in between the sticks, Steve, I know that.
He did make a decent save, didn't he? At one point in the game.
Save, ball gets hit at him. It's a poor finish, I think.
Right, okay.
Leroy Fair.
But you've got a real issue with the goal that Everton conceded.
If you look at that screenshot that I've put on there that I just took off my telly last night, I mean, he's outside of the frame of the goal when that ball gets crossed. Even so, I'm right behind, actually, I think you can see me on there actually fuming as the ball comes in, because I'm right behind the goal, and the ball comes across. He still has ample time to run out and get it, because the ball lands at Llorente's head 3 yards out. And he's sprinting back across his goal, so he has time to make up there. Having seen, there's a point where you think just jump and grab it before it obviously reaches Llorente's head. And he just stands there static and sort of collapses at the far post. And it's just the simplest of nod-ins. I mean, Gareth Barry doesn't cover himself in any glory by not stopping the cross. Jagielka doesn't in his challenge with Llorente. But, oh, Steve, for heaven's sake, get me a goalkeeper that can do what's asked of him. Look at where he's standing there. I mean, I was fond of the odd screenshot of Tim Howard's position, but that is abysmal. Where does he think he's benefiting the team or his best chances of keeping any shot out if he's not between the posts?
Yeah.
Wherever the ball comes in. A goalkeeper should never leave between his posts, should he? That line, those two lines across the goal, he shouldn't leave that. And he's standing outside. He might as well be having a fag on the post.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.